Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Continue our series on the good fight of faith. And tonight's message is going to be entitled, The Truth About Your Identity. The Truth About Your Identity. And I've got three more messages in this series before we finish it on the good fight of faith. And on all three of these messages is going to be along the lines of what we begin tonight, having to do with our identity or our identification with Christ. And I believe that we're going to get some good nuggets from this. So in continuing this, we're going to be talking about the truth about your identity, or tonight, that's the message. So once again, if you haven't turned there already, if I didn't tell you, then turn there to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, and we're going to read this again together. This is the two verses, the foundation of this series. Here it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you also called, and have confessed the good confession before many witnesses. And I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Everybody say, I love the word. Amen. You know, what we've been doing is for a number of weeks now, we've been looking at these two verses, and what we've been doing is what I call unpacking the truths in those verses. And so if they would put slide number one up for me, and here's some things that we found. The good fight of faith is the only fight that a believer is called to fight. Amen. And it's a faith fight. Everybody say, it's a faith fight. Slide number two, if you would, it tells us this. Amen. That the good fight of faith is really a fight to stay in faith. Or you could say it like this. You could say it's the stand of faith that the believers to take upon the Word of God over an already defeated foe, Satan. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so it is the good confession, or a confession of faith, that I actually fight the good fight of faith with and lay hold of or take possession of eternal life. And it's through our good confession that we remain in a position of faith. Actually, we could say like this. It's through our good confession. And one of the things that make everybody aware of, if you haven't been here for the series, we will have this handout at the Info Center that has some of these key points in it, but it also has a set of daily faith confessions. Now, you can pick this up at the Info Center. It will help you. It also, we have something new. It is a bookmark, My Daily Faith Confession from this. It actually has those faith confessions that we've been doing on this that you can use as a little simpler to carry along. They will be at the Info Center for you to pick up as well. So it is through our good confession that we not only fight the good fight of faith, but lay hold on eternal life. And we could say it like this. It is through our good confession. In other words, what we confess that God says. Confession means to say the same thing that God says. And so God appreciates when we say the same thing that God says about us. Amen. Praise God. And so it is through our good confession that we actually protect our faith. We actually build our faith. How many know through your good confession, not only do you protect your faith, but you build your faith. You also, through your good confession, you release your faith, because faith is always released two ways, through word or action. And then you could say like this, it's through our good confession that we remain in a position of faith. And this is the stand of faith that you and I must take, and our good confession helps us to have our stand of faith wherewith we fight the good fight of faith. Now, slide three, here's an important truth that I want us to be aware of, and this is where we want to launch in from over the next, beginning tonight and into the next two Wednesday nights. I do this, in other words, I fight the good fight of faith. I do that by identifying with Jesus Christ and his triumph over Satan and with all that salvation has given me. Amen. And so I want to talk about, notice the phrase identifying with Jesus Christ. And so what we're saying here, it is through my good confession or our good confession that not only do we identify with Jesus Christ, but we could say by identifying with Jesus Christ, we're taking our place in Christ. And we're going to understand more about what that actually means. If you don't know what that means, then over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this very thing. Identifying with Jesus Christ means you take your place in Christ, in his triumph over Satan, Christ's triumph over Satan, and in all that salvation has given us, as we just saw in that slide right there. So let's put up slide 4. If that's true, and it is, this means that I'm not fighting to defeat Satan. I know he already is. And I'm using or exercising my authority over him and his works in my life. Amen. So this is what the good fight of faith does. See, the good fight of faith realizes that Satan is defeated. You don't have to defeat him. All you have to do is enforce his defeat. And what we have to, this is why it says in 1 John chapter 4, write it down, you are of God, little children, and have already overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you've already overcome, then it doesn't mean you have to defeat him. He is defeated. What I'm learning to do is walk in my victory that Christ has already provided for me. And I do that through my identification with Jesus Christ, or taking my place in Christ. So I'm going to say it again. This means I'm not fighting to defeat Satan. I know he already is. See, that in of itself is a revelation that we need to put in our pipes, so to speak, and smoke. Now, I'm not encouraging everybody to smoke. You understand what I'm saying there. In other words, you need to get this in your heart, meditate on it, and understand it. That's how it works for you. See, most people have in their mind, even the church world, the majority of the church world has it in the mind that Satan is this big, bad, ugly boogie bear, and he may be all that, but he's still defeated. Yeah. But if we see him as a victor over, he'll either be a defeated foe or menacing pro by how we view him, and we need to see him as a defeated foe. Amen. And so it means that I'm not fighting to defeat Satan. It means I know he already is, and I'm using or exercising my authority over him and his works in my life. Slide 5, please. So we're not fighting for the victory, but actually from a place of victory. That's why I say we have to take our place in Christ. This is why we have to identify with Christ. We have to take our place in Christ in his victory over Satan and all that salvation is provided for us. So I'm not fighting for the victory, but actually from a place of or with the victory I already have or possess because I'm in Christ. Because of in Christ, that means because of my identity with Christ or me taking my place in Christ. Amen. It means the same thing. So really what we're talking about, all this is about helping us to see and know who we are in Christ. And happy to know you look a lot better in Christ than you do out of him. Hallelujah. It's about helping us to see and know who we are in Christ and the victory we possess because of it. There's victory we possess because we learn to walk in Christ. It already belongs to us. We just have to learn to walk in it. I'm not trying to get it. I've got it, and I'm learning how to walk in what I already possess, already have because of my identification in Christ. And it's through our good confession that we identify with or take our place in Christ. Every time you say, I'm a new creature in Christ, you are taking, not only are you saying a good confession, your good confession, but you are taking your place in Christ. You're taking your stand in faith in Christ. And this is so important, because identifying or taking our place in Christ is how we fight the good fight of faith through our good confession. And so once again, tonight we're going to jump in talking about the truth about your identity. Everybody say identity. Well, we, you know, theoretically know what identity is, but I want you to see it from God's view. Because until you see it from God's view, you ain't seen it the way you're supposed to see it. Yet I understand that ain't a real word, but we're using it tonight, okay? And so, you know, what we have to understand is it's our job to start seeing things the way that God sees them. Amen. And this is what we're talking about, the truth about your identity. And identity, by definition, I can define it like this: the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. I'll say it again. The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. So we know that identity, really, we could just say this, is who a person is. So ID, your ID, actually, it means it reveals who a person is. Isn't that right? You get stopped, and they ask for ID because they want to identify who you are. Amen. And so, how many know that God has identified who you are? And He would appreciate us, you and I, knowing who we are. But He doesn't want us just to know who we are naturally. He wants us to really know who we are in Christ. Because who we are in Christ is what we must focus on, because that's who He made us. Amen. And we're gonna dig a little deeper in this tonight. And so I want you to consider this. Outside of who God is, one of the greatest revelations in the Bible is who we are in Christ. I'm going to say it again. Outside of who God is, or in other words, outside of the revelation of finding who God is, one of the greatest revelations in the Bible is who we are in Christ. So one of the most important revelations that you and I can have in our life is who we are in Christ. And that means that we understand our identity. Amen. And so revelation knowledge reveals to us the way God sees us and what He says about us. In other words, it reveals our true identity. And only the Word of God reveals to us our true identity, or who God says we are. Because having to know your true identity is not who your mama says you are. It's really not even who your ID and your wallet says you are. It is that, but it's not just that. Your true identity is who God says you are. Amen. I'm going to show you from the Word of God why that is a truth that you and I must understand in order to walk in this victory of identity and identifying with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in here tonight? So many people live and die and never really find their true identity. You know that's true. People live and die and never find it. It's too late. If you don't know what I'm talking about tonight, by the time we finish, you will, praise God. But you realize that there's so many people that live and die without ever finding their true identity. And identity must be greater than what we do. Come on. Because a matter of fact, what we do is not who we are. Come on, get it straight. What you do is not who you are, or doesn't make you who you really are. So identity must be greater than what we do. You and I aren't truly identified by what we do. Let me give you an example. I just gave you an example about our driver's license. We pull out our driver's license. My driver's license doesn't say pastor on it. That's what I do. Amen. Praise God. It has my name. It tells the officer, whoever looks at it, who I am. Okay? And it'll do the same for you. Yet nowhere on there, if you work in the shipyard, nowhere on there does it say you're, you know, a first-class welder or you're a school teacher. Does it say you're an educator on there? It gives your name so people can know. It tells you who you are to someone else. Amen. But falsely, many people get their identity by what they do. Either getting that value or worth from it, or are left feeling belittled, less than, depressed, or confused by it. So, for instance, if a person may be a doctor or some prominent position, if they identify as that, in other words, that's what they get that value and their worth by, then how many know that even though that's wrong, they will carry themselves a little differently because they feel important? Or maybe so, maybe not everyone's got the big head or something. I'm just saying, they would probably carry themselves a little different in society. But say a person that just got a minimum wage job or whatever, they could, if they are confused about their identity, in other words, if what they do makes them think of that's who they are, then they are depressed and they're sad, unless they really realize that what you do doesn't make you who you are. Unless you know the truth about your identity and you do not get your value or your worth by what you do, you get your value and your worth by who you are. This is why knowing who you are and your identity is so important. And you better look at somebody other than your neighbor to tell you who that it is. You better not ask your mama or your daddy. You better find out what Almighty God, your Creator, says about you. Now, of course, your neighbor tonight may tell you exactly what God said. Amen. And that's good, because that would be wonderful. They told you the truth, but you can't count on everybody else telling you who you are. Matter of fact, you are unwise to do so. All the search for and confusion about identity in our society and world today, all the gender dysphoria, the dissatisfaction and confusion about life, people search to find out who they are, only further echo this point that I'm bringing out tonight, because people simply do not know who they are. You see that in the headlines. You see that all over. You just can look at people without them saying a word. Many times you can tell they really don't know who they are. They're trying to be or identifying as something that they're not really are. We can only know these things concerning identity. We can only know identity, who you are, your purpose, why you exist, and your destiny, what God has planned for your life, by God Himself. So you can only really know your identity by God Himself, your Creator. For only the Creator is qualified to tell the creation about itself. No one else is qualified. We may think we are, but we're not qualified. Only the Creator. It's just like writing a book. You know, if you're an author of the book, you could give me a copy of your book and say, would you read my book? And I'll read the book, and you go back and tell me what you thought about that, and tell me what you got from that. And I could begin to do that and say, and the person that wrote the book could look at me and say, well, that's not really what I meant by what you're saying I said. What I'm saying is, the only person that's really qualified to tell you about that book would be the author himself, because he knows what was in his heart when he wrote it. Same way with God. Only the Creator is qualified to tell about any of His creation, because only He knows what's in his heart when he created us. And therefore, this is why this book called the Bible is so important, because it is a revelation of our identity. Who God says we are, who he's made us to be, and what he's called us to do. That means that we can only know these things, like our identity, our purpose, our destiny, these things by the truth. I said you can only know those things by the truth. And only by the word of God, which is the truth, which is the only thing that can reveal mankind's true identity. And the true identity is who God says we are. And we can't possibly know our identity or who we really are outside of him, the truth. We may think we can, but we really can't. This is why all the confusion in the world around identity, and why all the crazy things we are seeing and hearing today. But let me tell you something, church. As the church, we shouldn't neither be confused, deceived, or silent about these things. Many people say things like this: I identify as. In other words, I identify. Now listen, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be helpful. Many times people say, well, I identify as a man, but I'm a woman. Or I identify as a woman, but I'm really a man. You know, men in women's sports and men in women's bathrooms. How many know that God calls all that perversion? You can call it, you can identify, but it's perversion. It gets worse before it gets better. People say identify as a cat. Or, you know, very true. When someone says identify as, they are declaring, they are saying, this is who they are. But is that the truth? No, 1,000 times no. It just reveals they don't know who they really are. You see, the moment you reject the truth of who God says you are, or you don't know what God says about you or who you are, what you do is you actually open the door to the devil and deception, and therein itself lies the problem in the world today. Because either people have rejected what God said, or people don't know what God says, or don't want to know what God says because it cramps their style. Therein lies the problem. And the moment those things happen, then we fall into deception, in the lie of the devil. This is why the truth about your identity is so important. Not just so that you're not confused, but so that you can walk into victory and learn how to help other people to walk into victory. The truth is, without the revelation of our identity found in God's word, we'll be tricked by Satan to make up our own identity. And that's what you're seeing today all in the world. But in the end, when people do that, they will pay a high price for it. It's called spiritual death. So what are we doing? We're talking about the truth about identity. Why don't you slap your neighbor? No, don't slap your neighbor. Punch your neighbor and say, wake up one moment. Praise the Lord. Because I'm talking about you right now. Praise God. I'm helping you whether you know it or not. I'm not running up and down. And for the next moment, you're going to have to bear with me, because when I'm talking about the truth about identity, I want to use sex and gender as an illustration. So bear with me one moment. Stick with me. I haven't digressed from our subject about knowing your true identity. I'm trying to help us to see it better. I'm trying to help us to see it God's way. And I'm going to use gender or sex as an illustration. Now, most of us, or we should all know in here tonight, that both gender or sex, that's the same thing, gender or sex is binary. And what do you mean by binary, Pastor Chris? That's not the normal word that you would use all the time. Of course it's not. But gender and sex is binary, and it means involving two things. The word binary means involving two things. In other words, it means that gender and sex, there's only two biological sexes, and that's male and female. That shouldn't come by a great revelation to us, but just in case you know, God said it in the very beginning. There's only two. Okay. Male and female. If you identify as something else, you don't know who you really are, and whenever we don't know the truth about something, we easily fall for the lie or make something up. We make our own version to suit our own will and our own conscience, which never works, and it can never work because it's not the truth. I mean, what some people say today, 50 years ago, they would be calling the insane asylum. Come on. To say this person has lost it. But now, or in the past number of years, those things have been applauded, embraced, and made to push on society to make you think if that is the norm or that is the right way. I'm here to tell you, it is not only not the right way, it is the wrong way, and it's the way to destruction. And the church doesn't need to be deceived by it or quiet about it. Because if we do, then our own children and the people that should know different don't know. And we've been dumbed down so much by media and propaganda and hate speech and censorship that we think it would be wrong to even address it. No, it is the right place to address it. It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. So the point that I'm making is that people are confused about identity. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not using any of this tonight, sex, gender, the things we talk about, all those things, I'm not using them to be critical or controversial, but to illustrate a greater point. And this is the point. Just as gender or sex is binary, involving only two things, so is our spiritual condition. Meaning there's only two possible conditions that we fall under. Did you get what I just said? Just as sex or gender is binary, involving only two things. So is our spiritual condition, meaning only two possible conditions exist, either saved or unsaved, either alive spiritually or dead spiritually, either a child of God or a child of the devil. There's only two possible conditions or identities. In the Bible, teaches that we all have a natural identity and a spiritual identity. So this is what I want to close on talking about tonight. So the Bible teaches us we all have a natural identity. We're either male or female. You know which one you are. And you're either one by being born into this world as part of the human race. That's how we get our natural identity. And we all have one. But we also, according to the scripture, have a spiritual identity. And that is one that the scripture says, I'm going to explain it, is either from or in Adam or from or in Christ Jesus. Our spiritual identity is either found in Adam or found in Christ. So let me further explain. God only sees these two conditions or identities when he sees all of mankind. In other words, when he looks at us, he knows we either naturally male, female, part of the human race, or spiritual identity, we either in Adam or in Christ. They're the only two possible conditions and identities that exist. There's no others. So we are all either what is known in the Bible as in Adam or in Christ. Both reveal identity and or our condition. When I say identity, who we really are, and our condition, the condition that we really are spiritually. Either saved or unsaved, live spiritually, dead spiritually, child of God or child of the devil. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians. We'll look at a few verses before we close tonight. 1 Corinthians, I didn't put you to sleep yet, have I? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 41. I believe we're going to begin there. Verses 45 through 47. Look at this. It says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Let me ask you this. Who's the last Adam? Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's read that again. Let's read it again. Verse 40. For it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus, I'm adding that to it, was made a quickening spirit. Goes on and say, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. Now, notice if we put up verse 45 again. Verse 45 says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Notice both Jesus here, as well as Adam, is called Adam. You know why? In other words, Jesus is called Adam, the second or last Adam, because both, here's why, because both he and Adam are heads of an entire race. I'm going to say that again. Both Adams are heads of an entire races or of an entire race. Adam is the head of fallen humanity. And if we're in Adam, we're sons of Adam. Jesus is the head of a new spiritual race of redeemed humanity. And if we're in Christ, we're sons of God. You know, when Adam was created, he was created as the Son of God. But when he fell, everyone else became in humankind, that sin passed upon all humankind. Romans 5, verse 12. And so we became sons of Adam. He was the only Son of God until Jesus Christ came again. Now, we see references to sons of God. That's something else, angels and different things in there. But what I'm saying is the head of an entire race. There are two races. There's the humankind, amen, that's there that Adam is in, and there's a spiritual race. Jesus Christ himself came, come on, I hope you get this, to create a new race of human beings. It's not based upon color. It's not based upon culture. It's not based upon gender. Come on. Jesus Christ came to create a new race of human beings in whom God could dwell and whom God could work through. It's a new spiritual race of beings. We're not just biological and physical, but we're actually spiritual. And the truth is, we were that in Adam. But the difference in Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. That is the difference. And this is why we must know our identity. This points back us to the fact that, look, if I find out that I'm in Adam, I'm asking, if that's true, and it is, because God said it, then how do I get in Christ? Right. Amen. That should be the answer that we're looking for. And so let's find out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, verse 21 and 22. Now here's what it says. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. How many know that's Jesus Christ? See, this is why Jesus, God himself, had to become a man. Because only a sinless, spotless Lamb of God, humanity, this is why he had to be virgin born. Because the seed had to be uncorrupted by sin. So he could be the head of another humankind. A spiritual being that never existed before. For since by man came death, as Adam, and his sin, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's Jesus Christ. Verse 22, it says, in Adam all die. In Adam, if that's in Adam, see, remember your condition, your identity is either in Adam. In Adam, if you're in Adam, you die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. So in Adam all die. So our natural birth, and we all have one, don't we? Our natural birth into this earth, get it straight, puts us into Adam. Then in Adam is who we get our identity from. By just being born in this earth, we get our identity from Adam. But the problem is, in Adam all die. In Christ, all are made alive. So at the moment of salvation, or the new birth, or the second birth, it puts us into Christ. Just like we got put into Adam. Listen, there was nothing you could do except be born on this earth. The moment you're born on this earth, you're put into Adam. Because you're part of the few of fallen humanity because of Adam's original sin. But God worked a great plan. It's called redemption. And what God wanted to do originally in man, he had to do in Christ. And then God, to fix the mess, puts man in Christ in order to fix it. So a natural birth gets us into Adam, and in that we experience spiritual death. And that is who we get our identity from. God sees us in Adam. That's who we are. Now, I know you're either male or female, but in the spirit, you're either in Adam or in Christ. But in Christ, all are made alive. And at the moment of our salvation, or the moment of the new birth, or the second birth, or being born again, it puts us into Christ. And that is who we get our new identification from, or our new identity from. Remember, this is how God sees not only us, this is how God sees all of mankind. Which reveals two things. It reveals both our condition and our identity. Who we in and who we are in determines what condition we're in. If we're in Adam, we're spiritually dead. We're a child of the devil. If we're in Christ, we're spiritually alive and become sons of God. Come on, somebody should be thanking God for this and tonight. And so remember, this is how God sees us. And this is why the truth about our identity is so important. Because without knowing who God says you are, you try to be something else. You try to determine your value and your worth by what you do, what you own, and those types of things. It's not until you know really who you are in Christ that you can be confident. It's only when you know who you are in Christ that you actually are not only confident, but it's a humbled confidence. It's a godly confidence, because now you realize that you are a brand new being that never existed before. And now the reason you and I can do what we never done before is because you and I are who we never been before. We're not in Adam. We're in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So remember, this is why it says, if any man be in Christ. So if any man, so when we see in Christ, we think identity. We think as spiritual condition. This is what it means. We put slide back. When we understand this, this is just the beginning of what I want to talk about. We put slide 3 back, please. And it says, I do this by, in other words, we fight the good fight of faith. The reason we can have a good confession. Listen, when the world says, I identify as a cat, they're telling you, they're saying they're a cat. When you, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. When you identify with who God says you are, when you say, I'm a new creature in Christ, you're just saying what God says about you, and you're declaring who God has made you. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Not making your own version up of identity. So when a person says, I identify as, they're saying, this is who I am. So now when you start the good confession and declaring what God says about you, you're saying, this is who I am. This is who I identify with. I identify with Jesus Christ in His triumph over Satan and in all that salvation has given me. The moment you start saying your good confession that has to do with your identity and your condition, you're saying, hallelujah, I am sharing this place in Christ. I'm in Him and He's in me. I'm taking my place in Christ in His triumph over Satan. And whatever's true of Christ, that's true of me. Whatever God has done in Christ, now God has done in me. And His triumph over Satan and all that salvation has given me is by my identifying with Him. Or my identity in Christ. And when we understand that, then our bold confession, we're going to get ready to make our confession tonight before we dismiss. See, we need to get thrilled with the Word of God. See, we can say these things so many times that we just, it's like la-di-da to us. But tonight I go back to the very origin of identity. In other words, how we get it and what it means. And then we'll build from that because there's so much more of this. But if you don't have the origin, thank you, Brother Ryan, if you don't have the origin of it right, then it doesn't make that much difference to you. It should make the difference, the whole difference in the world, because now you understand that what Christ did for us was all about changing not only our condition, but our identity. And it's through our identity that the devil can't stand. Because you know, if you're in Christ, you know when the devil looks at you, you know who he's seeing? He's seeing Christ. But it's not until you see yourself that way that you stand before the devil and say, get out of here. Get out of my body. Get out of my mind. Get out of my family. Get out of my life. I have authority over you and no more. Identify with Jesus Christ in His triumph. Identify, identify. I'm saying who I am. Let's stand together and say who we are. I am a child of God. Say it. I am a child of God. I am a new creature. I am the righteousness of God. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have power, love, and a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have eternal life. I have the faith of God. I have the love of God in my heart. I have authority over the powers of darkness. I hear God's voice and I'm led by His Spirit. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Thank you, Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror because of you. Lift your voices and thank him tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That'll make you jump in the river. Hallelujah. That'll make you shout, dance, spin about. Glory to God. Because we're in Christ. So what does it mean to be in Christ? It means you have the same identical life, the same identical nature, the same identical righteousness, and the same identical victory. That's what it means. It's one of the things that it means. And I fight the good fight of faith. We fight the good fight of faith by identifying with Jesus Christ. In other words, when the devil shows up, you say, you call yourself who God calls you. You do boldly confess who God, and that causes you to stand in faith, remain in faith, release your faith, exercise your faith. Come on. And he causes you to win because your faith. Because you identify not as you see. Too many times we identify. We may not think, we may not say it, tell everybody, we really identify. You've seen yourself through your carnal eyes, through your natural birth, even though you have a natural birth, but you're not identifying yourself through your spiritual birth. Through your second birth, that means you're really not identifying yourself with Christ, because when you identify yourself with Christ, let me tell you something, the wine leaves you. The wine leaves. The complaining leaves. The butts, the billy goat butts, but, leaves. And you rise up and you say, this is what God says I am. And this is who I am. This is who I identify as, a child of God. Glory to God. The devil shows up, you need to say, I identify as a child of God. I identify as the righteousness of God in Christ. I identify as the healed of the Lord. Come on. And you're saying, what you're saying to the whole spirit world, if this is who I say I am. See the perversion of how the devil has used these counterfeits and people identifying with everything else but who God has made them to be. It's just a perversion. But when you know the truth, oh, you rise up and you begin to rejoice and praise God. Let's just rejoice and praise him one more time tonight before we go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. The truth about our identity will never be the same again. This is who I am. Identity. This is what I have, inheritance, and this is what we can do. Hallelujah. The power and the authority to live this life, and we identify with it. This is our condition, our position, and our identity. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, this is how we win. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Christians praying. Maybe if you're in here tonight and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, then there's no better time. I would be remiss, even though probably everybody in here tonight is born again, but someone could have slipped in, I didn't know it. See, when you understand you're either in Adam all die, or you're in Christ, all are made alive. It's only until you get in Christ, out of Adam, in Christ, that you're right with God. And it's that simple. It's by making Jesus the Lord of your life. See, God sees us either in Adam. You get that way, you can't help it. You were born that way. But you don't have to stay that way. Doesn't change your natural identity, but what it does is change your spiritual identity. It takes you from darkness to light, from lost to found, to unsaved to saved, from a child of the devil to the child of God. And in Christ is your answer. If you're in here tonight, you've never been in Christed, been born again, saved, had this second birth, moved from death unto life, then tonight I invite you to do. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, Christians praying. If you want that prayer and say, pray for me, Pastor, I'll lead you in a prayer and you can receive Christ. It'll be beautiful. Your life will be changed and you'll have a brand new identity, one with Christ. That's what God wants. It's up to you. He's given you that ability. You're free moral agent. You choose. I'm looking all over this place. I'm just making sure I don't miss anyone. Anyone said, yep, pray with me, Pastor. Lead me in that prayer so I can be right with God. So, Father, tonight we love you. We thank you that we are in Christ. In Christ. Help us to see this and help us to reach a world that's not only confused but lost. Help us to love them like you love them. And help us to pursue their salvations and point them to the only way they'll have true identity and true peace with you, and that is through Jesus Christ. Father, we give you the praise and give you the glory for it all now, in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a difference maker. Go make a difference. Praise God. We'll see you Sunday.